Welcome, everyone, to Nightcap Sports. Sitting here with Chris Favre, I'm Garrett Lay, and we are ready to embark on our official USA-Belgium World Cup Round of 16 preview show. Chris, the U.S. emerged out of the group of death and now set to take on the team, tabbed by everybody to be the surprise team of the tournament. Team littered with talent all over the pitch. Winners of Group H, Belgium. Loads of talking points to get to regarding Belgium, but first, let's look back in order to go forward. I want to get your take on the USA, even getting to this point and getting out of the group. Despite losing to Germany 1-0, they still finished second in the group after advancing through tiebreaker with Portugal. How big of a deal is it that the USA are still playing in this round of 16 in this World Cup?
I think it's a very, very big deal, especially considering some people thought we were in the group of death. So we did end up making it out, which is phenomenal. I think it's kind of raising the bar a little bit for the next World Cups coming up also, especially I didn't even have the United States going out. So it's definitely a big thing, I think, for soccer, and especially to get through with a Portugal, Germany, and a Ghana, especially with that third team in Ghana being the team that we've struggled with the past two World Cups, having them in there and getting through both of them, it's been really good, and I think it's definitely a big thing.
Yeah, you mentioned that some people consider this the group of death. I think if you're putting it up against the other groups, now that the group stage is over, you look back at how other teams did out of the group, I think you can say that this group with Germany, Portugal, United States, and Ghana, the only other group I think that can maybe stake claim to having a more difficult group might be Group B with the likes of Netherlands, Chile, Spain, and Australia. But even then, I don't know if Australia, even though they performed well, if they would stack up with the teams in this group. But Chile showed their class, even though they got knocked out by Brazil in their first round of 16 game. But the other group, potentially before the tournament, you might have thought about was the group of death with Italy, England, Uruguay, and Costa Rica. Costa Rica put that to bed. They said, this is the group of CONCACAF, my man. Los Ticos. Going to the quarterfinals, so I don't think that those groups were necessarily as good as we thought all the way through as this group was with the United States. And I mean, this was a hell of a group.
Yeah, it definitely was. And looking back, I mean, we're through the knockout stage, and you look at teams like Spain, England, and Italy. They're not in it, and we are. So that's a big positive going forward with them being, you know, I guess historically powerhouses.
I'm telling you, these people just can't hang with CONCACAF. That's what it's about. That's what this World Cup was all about. Mexico almost taking down Netherlands, just showing you what that CONCACAF power is, man.
Yeah, or they're just a little more well-rested. One of the two.
Yeah, but this is the United States-Belgium preview show, so let's get to it right away. Lots to like about this Belgium team. I don't know, the way I heard it put by someone in this tournament, can you be underground and mainstream at the same time? Because that's what this Belgium squad is, where they're kind of everyone's Cinderella, dark horse pick. But when you look at this roster from top to bottom, there's no reason this team should be a dark horse. This team should be considered one of the favorites when you look at the talent they have on their squad.
Yeah, looking back about 2 years ago, I think a lot of people, that's how the dark horse talk started. I mean, with Lukaku coming around and Hazard moving over to Chelsea and De Bruyne just coming into form and Mertens. I think that's what a lot of times people were like, oh, you know, they're starting to be a dark horse, they're starting to become good. But now, in 2014 at the World Cup in Brazil, there's no reason why they should be considered a dark horse at all. With the talent individually is much better than the United States, in my opinion. So there is no dark horse
at Belgium. Probably everybody's opinion.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, at least. So I think the dark horse talk is not just shouldn't be here. It should be non-existent at this point.
Yeah, they were expected to come in. If anything, the only thing that people can hold against this Belgian side was their lack of experience. They have gone through a bit of a golden generation of players. Everybody loves that term, the golden generation. Yeah. But when you look at it for what the soccer history is in Belgium, and you have the type of talent that you have right now in that squad, they were expected to do well. They ran through Group H, which was one of the easier groups in the entire tournament. They knocked off Algeria coming from behind 2-1 in their first game, beat Russia 1-0, and then beat South Korea 1-0 despite playing with 10 men for a big portion of the match. So they come in winners of Group H, but still not necessarily clicking on all cylinders. Maybe haven't put in that type of performance that everyone expects just quite yet. Hopefully they don't get it together when they take on the United States later on today.
Yeah, let's hope not. They don't get it together. It's really, really puzzling, especially with how well Mertens has been playing. And you see Lukaku getting his minutes, but just doesn't look fully 100% comfortable, you know, sprinkling a little Hazard. And I think it's kind of shocked a couple people that De Bruyne is kind of getting that free role, and he looks up for it. But altogether, just through that midfield and going into that attacking third, it's just that final little touch, that final piece of magic that they need. You know, they are getting results, but it's still just not fully clicking with Belgium.
See, I kind of put Belgium in the same category. When I watched Belgium this World Cup, I think they kind of remind me of Argentina in the fact that, I don't know, they haven't seemed to really hit fifth gear, you know, where they're really topping out. But instead, it's just a little bit of individual brilliance here when they really need it. And that's the thing. When they've needed a big performance, when it comes down to it, whether it's their manager, Wilmot, making subs and bringing people on, like against Algeria, actually Algeria, Russia, and South Korea. Every goal scored by Belgium so far in this tournament has been scored by a substitute. So they're making the necessary changes in the game, whatever it may be, to come in. They're changing the game. They're getting results, but they're still not hitting top gear. What is it that you think maybe it is that's keeping these guys from really letting loose? What's kind of holding back Belgium right now? Do you think they're even being held back, or do you think they got something in the reserve that they still haven't shown?
I think there's something in the reserve for them, but also I think with all that talent that Belgium has, is there really that correct lineup that you're going to be able to put that best 11 to fire on all cylinders? The same thing, like you said, with Argentina. It's, do they really know who their best 11 are to gel? And I think that's what kind of Belgium is still kind of playing around with. Like you said, they still do have some youth. But there's no way this is all that we've seen from Belgium. I think I would be, if the U.S. goes through and Belgium goes out with a very lackluster performance, I would be very, very shocked to see this is, quote-unquote, the best of Belgium this World Cup in Brazil.
Certainly. If the U.S. are able to knock off Belgium and make their second-ever appearance in a quarterfinal in the World Cup, I think it will be extremely disappointing for Belgium, because you really will have seen, like, wow, this team right here certainly did not accomplish what they were capable of. Because, I mean, when you're looking at this roster, the best thing to like about Belgium is all this young, just exciting, game-changing talent that they have. When you're running down the list of players in this squad, like you said, some of the guys you've mentioned, you've got Romelu Lukaku, who's scoring 17, 18 goals, whatever it is, with Everton. Then on the flanks, Eden Hazard, maybe the best young player in the world, playing for Chelsea. And then you have the likes of Mertens and Morales on the wings. These are game changers. Janisaj, another game changer for Man United. And then in the midfield, Dembele, De Bruyne, Witsel, Fellaini, if you still fancy him. But
hey, he's putting in some good performances.
Yeah, I mean,
can't bag him too much.
He can at least be big. You can hit that throw trying to maybe.
You gotta love the throw.
And that's, I mean, the thing is, I say that I'm making fun of Fellaini. If Fellaini goes into the United States, where do you rank him in our squad? He's probably takes over Bradley's spot, right?
He's starting.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly starting. He's probably dictating the play for us.
Who would you put in who would you say are in Belgium's starting 11 may not start for the United States?
Whew. I think a better question is who for the United States would start for Belgium?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I would, looking at it, maybe, see, Courtois is probably a top five goalkeeper in the planet. So I'd say that marks out Tim Howard.
Yeah, I'd say that's a preference thing right there. Yeah. But yeah, Courtois, you can definitely make the arguments would be starting over Howard. I think a lot of people would take Courtois over Howard, and that is no mark against Tim Howard at all.
Not at all.
Courtois, I saw this stat. This is an amazing stat. Is that Belgium are undefeated with Courtois as their keeper in 20 games. He has 14 wins, 6 draws.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I guess not only for Belgium, obviously, to stats wise, but also for Atletico Madrid. And he's been phenomenal helping them out in La Liga.
The U.S. If you're looking to see who in the U.S. can get into this Belgian squad,
starting 11.
And they're starting 11. I probably say, and I'll look at, we'll just take the last game that Belgium played, their South Korea lineup. And they have enough players. I mean, they're 16, 17, 18 players deep. So people can rotate. But let's see.
I feel like there might be like a player we can plug in.
I think Fabian Johnson. Yeah. I think Fabian Johnson could get into this.
Because
their outside backs aren't that good.
Their outside backs are center backs.
Right. They're playing guys like Jan Vertonghen out wide. Vermaelen, if he's been playing out wide, he was subbed off early in the match against South Korea with a hamstring injury. Vertonghen came on after starting the first two games and scores the game-winning goal. But maybe.
Can you throw Jermaine Jones in there? He's been playing in the World Cup?
I think with the, yeah, that's a good way to put it. With the form Jermaine Jones is in right now, if you're just looking at performances in the World Cup and not so much club performances, I think Jermaine Jones could be that kind of holding player for, I think he could definitely get into the Belgian squad right now the way he's playing, maybe for an Axel Witsel. But that's just preference. In no way would I say I really would take Jermaine Jones over anybody in that starting 11 for Belgium. I mean, Moussa Dembele, if he's in the USA squad, he's probably one of our top two or three attacking options just right away.
Yeah, there's no one I feel confident with that I would say, hey, we have someone here that you can insert in your starting 11, Belgium.
So saying that, I guess that would mean that we clearly think that the USA are massive underdogs if we have an entire team that we're having trouble putting one, two USA players into that starting Belgian squad. Is that fair? Am I being a little bit harsh?
No, you're not being harsh. I mean, the USA are underdogs going in tomorrow. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think without a doubt we are an underdog tomorrow. Not as big as maybe you'd say like a Germany, Algeria, or a France, Nigeria game, but I'd say we're slight underdogs. I mean, if I'm in Vegas, I probably wouldn't put too much money on us.
I mean, if I just let my just massive patriotism, homerism just shine through, I might. Because right now, that's probably the best aspect of why you want to say that you think the USA can get this result, because you see these commercials and you hear the songs. I believe that we will win. The thing is, Jurgen Klinsmann says that we are not the underdogs to anyone. We're the underdogs to Belgium.
Yeah, we definitely are. And we've been good enough to get results, but not great performances, which is fine, which is definitely acceptable.
But I think this is a fair statement. Would you not say that the USA will be the best team Belgium has played so far in this tournament?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
I agree with that. So I think we're a standpoint from an underdog where the individual talent certainly is on the side of the Belgians, but the U.S. is and always has been a team that is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, one thing that I feel about this USA team is, if you say an intangible, is that they look together. They look together like they honestly are playing for each other, and they genuinely like to play for each other and be around each other, which is something is very, very hard to do and kind of create that as a coach. Half the time as a coach, you kind of really, really can't create that. And maybe that's one reason, I guess looking back briefly, is maybe why Donovan may have not gone in. I don't know. Maybe some people probably saw the fact that he wasn't training nearly as much or whatever, and may have just stirred a little bit within the roster, you know, watching him get a lot of minutes over someone else that's been, you know, training day in and day out and staying fit compared to someone that is training maybe, you know, 2 days and has to take a day or two off or 3 days and a day off.
I mean, I can sit here and I certainly question Klinsmann's decision not to bring Landon Donovan. Do I think he could help us? Do I still think he could help us? Yeah. But that's from the outside looking in. When you pick a World Cup squad, when you pick a team, any tournament team that you're going to get results, you got to take the 23 you feel most comfortable with. Like you said, if that's one of the things Jurgen Klinsmann needs to be recognized for, and is the fact that he has brought a team that, like you said, is going to do the dirty work. They're going to put the shift in because they all believe in each other. Even, I mean, you got young guys coming off the bench contributing. Like you said, the team chemistry seems fantastic for the U.S. squad. And I think that we got some big personalities in there that when we take on Belgium today, they're going to be players that expect to get a result. The Clint Dempseys, the Tim Howards, Michael Bradley, these guys have been here before. They've played in round of 16 knockout games.
They believe.
And I mean, they hopefully they should believe, but I think what they honestly believe is that in the grand scheme of things, getting out of the group is all nice and well, and especially when you get out of the group like we did. But
they want more.
Exactly. It does. Michael Bradley, I saw Michael Bradley say something where he said, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean much to get out of the group. I mean, we won the group in 2010 with England, Algeria, and Slovenia. But what I remember is seeing Kevin Prince-Boateng and Asmar Gyan just punish us in the round of 16 game with Ghana and send us home. That's what I remember from South Africa. So,
if I were to say we were to duplicate a performance of versus Ghana, Portugal, or Germany, do you think
any of those
performances will be good enough to win today?
Well, it's interesting that that's a really great question, and we'll use it to kind of go into our next talking point of how we want to focus on the game when talking about the lineups. I think that it's going to take a performance like the Portugal game. If we play like we did against Portugal, we have a chance. We have a chance regardless. We can cause Belgium problems because we're a squad that can give everybody problems, anybody problems. We're going to work hard. We're not going to make things easy on you. But I think we got to keep the ball like we did against Portugal. Coming in, I mean, it will certainly, a lot will depend on our lineup that we come out with. But if we come out in the 4-5-1, depends on if Altidore plays. It was announced today that he's fit. Well, he's available. I don't want to say he's fit, but U.S. Soccer announced today that he is available 15 days after pulling his hamstring against Ghana in the opening game of the tournament. So if we come out in a 4-5-1, which I hope we do, with either Altidore or Dempsey up top, I think we're gonna have to play with that type of formation and that mindset that we had against Portugal. That was the only game where we really seemed to try and take it to the opponent. I mean, that was our game against Portugal, and Manaus was probably one of the best performances I've ever seen the U.S. national team put in.
Yeah, they looked a lot more comfortable being out there against Portugal. Definitely the 4-5-1 suits us more. I know we talked a little bit off the podcast about if it's the diamond in the middle, it's going to be probably a little too defensive. I don't think we will be good enough to just absorb pressure for 90 minutes against this Belgium side.
Right. We went with the diamond midfield against Ghana when we had Beckerman holding in front of the back line, Jones and Bedoya on the left and right, and Bradley more forward behind Dempsey and Altidore. But, I mean, the truth is I just don't think that – I mean, Kyle Beckerman's had a fantastic tournament playing alongside Jermaine Jones in front of that back line. But it's just put so much stress on him to play – in front of the back four by himself and the diamond, and then we have Jones tucking in and then getting wide. It's just, we get so stretched. I think if we come out in the diamond, I think that's a clear sign from Klinsmann saying, hey,
we're a little timid.
We're going to look to absorb and look to see if we can counterattack. But a lot of that will have to do, like I said, with the Altidore, if he's fit. If he's not fit, I don't think that we're going to throw Johansson or Wondolowski up top with Dempsey. I think we'd be much more comfortable putting Dempsey up there by himself with Bradley in behind and Jones and Beckerman sitting in front of the back four. So the starting lineup is going to say a lot as to how we look to what our mindset is going into the opening whistle.
Yeah, I think Dempsey up top likes to bang around a little bit more by himself than a Wondolowski or Johannesson. I think he's a little more comfortable and likes to bang around with more center backs. And
well, I think he's just better at finding the space. Mm-hmm. And I think if you Dempsey is more comfortable playing in behind a forward. If you're going to play a 2-forward system with Dempsey, I think he's more comfortable playing with a target man, and him mm-hmm. playing in behind is just playing with a regular mm-hmm. two man up front type system. So, but like I said, what we come out with in the lineup, that's going to say a lot as to our mindset. When we played Germany and we came out with a lineup, there was a big shock because the one big change going into our last group stage match was that Omar Gonzalez came in for Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron with a big mistake against Portugal that set up the first goal to Nani, and then caught maybe ball watching a little bit on the game tying cross and stoppage time from Cristiano Ronaldo. So Cameron was dropped. Gonzalez comes in, and I mean, he put in one hell of a shift against Germany.
Yeah, he had to, and it's kind of shocking thinking that I know. We were both a little high on Jeff Cameron coming in and saying, hey, you know, we definitely probably thought he was a little better than Beasley at the time. But he's kind of dropped, I guess, a little in form with this United States team than he has in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's just kind of ironic that Klinsmann leading up to the World Cup was so pro-Europe when it came to where our players were applying their trade on the club level. He wanted his players to go abroad. He wanted them to be playing in the top European leagues mm-hmm. if they could get there. But then what do you know before the World Cup? You got Dempsey comes back, signs a huge deal with the Sounders. And now going into our biggest game in the World Cup, our two most informed center backs are both MLS players. So, I will be shocked if Beasley and Gonzalez aren't the pairing at center back come that game against Belgium. Come kick off in earlier or later today. God, sorry. Stumbling over my words, but I think when it comes down to it, Gonzalez certainly played his way into the lineup with that performance against Germany.
Yeah, no, he had a phenomenal game. What do you think would be one of our biggest question marks going into the game? Not depending on how we would line up. If I were to say, hey, you know, we have a big hole we may need to fill here, what would you say is maybe your biggest worry going into the game today?
I think my biggest worry from a non-lineup standpoint is what's the mindset our team has. I mean, I really want to see us come out, try and keep the ball. Our attacking, we've been much more dynamic going forward. But the fact is, against Ghana, tactically we got it right because we put Ghana in difficult positions to score. We didn't think that they'd be able to break us down. When we got the early goal, it kind of set up perfectly for us. But we still absorbed a lot in that game. And I think if that's what we do against Belgium, I think it'd be the wrong approach. And credit Jurgen Klinsmann. So far this tournament, everything he has touched has turned to goal. He has gotten every single decision right. So I'm not going to question him. When I see that lineup and when that kickoff comes, I'll be expecting the USA to tactically be pretty sound.
Yeah, I would too. That's definitely a big characteristic that we've had. That's definitely going for us right now is tactically – we are very good. We know what we need to do as a team to pull results and to get what we need. And yeah, all the credit to Jurgen. I think win or loss, I don't think there's too much questioning we could do of him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been fantastic. Even with us not getting the result against Germany, some people saying we sat back too much. But, I mean, we knew a draw
was Germany.
Exactly. It's Germany, and we knew a draw would be enough. So, and when you're taking into account the tiebreakers, the goal differential. I mean, we were always going to sit back and defend in that game. And the truth is we had chances at the end of the game to grab an equalizer. So,
hey, we're also through. So,
exactly. That was the job. Job done. Out of the group. Mm-hmm. Playing Belgium today. Chance to make a quarterfinal. I expect the United States to come out and try and take the game to Belgium. Especially, this is a Belgian side that people who have been watching and keep up with the tournament know that I don't think that they put in a performance to be afraid of so far.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Would you say leaving South Africa in 2010, if I were to say, hey, we're in a group with Ghana, Portugal, and Germany, would you would you be shocked, I guess, now looking back, that we're out?
I wouldn't say shocked because
leading South Africa.
When it comes to U.S. soccer, I think that, I mean, the same thing. When you looked at our group with Algeria, Slovenia, and England in 2010, and if I was to tell you, hey, you're going to win the group, you probably would have been like, well, dang, England's in this.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening either. Well, it happened that way. But U.S. soccer, I'm with Jurgen Klinsmann in the fact that we shouldn't necessarily consider ourselves underdogs, because you take away the one horrible World Cup in 2006 in Germany, in which we got just destroyed by Czech Republic, held on to a draw with Italy before losing to Ghana in our last group stage and getting bounced. Take that away. We've now advanced out of the group stage three out of the last four World Cups. I mean, we're a tough out for anybody because we have that spirit. We play with that determination. We don't make things easy. We're going to put in a good shift defensively. So I almost expect now for the U.S. to get out of their group, and especially going forward after now, if they can get out of a group with Germany and Portugal and Ghana, there's no reason to not think that we should be getting out of the group almost every time, if not every time. And when we do, we should be looking to advance, which we have the opportunity to do against Belgium.
Yeah, I think Belgium isn't the worst matchup. I think before the World Cup started, before Brazil, I would say, hey, we got Belgium in the knockout stage. I'm not feeling that too much. But now watching Belgium, you know, get out of their group stage and it's not gelling much. It's definitely a little positive note going forward today, and you know, maybe getting a result and getting out of there and going to the knockout stage is standard now, in my opinion. I think it's definitely something that will happen and has to happen from World Cups.
Looking at Belgium again, what one player do you fear the most as far as a player that you think has the opportunity to really hurt the U.S. in today's game?
I think, obviously, Eden Hazard, obviously. But for me, I think it's a little bit of Romelu Lukaku, just the way he bangs down low, and he's just like a mini Drogba with a lot of size and a lot of speed and can score on you in many ways, running at defenders and, I mean, you know, wins headers. I think with Beasley and Gonzalez, I think this could definitely be maybe the hardest matchup, because with Ronaldo playing at 60%, 7%, whatever, however healthy he was last Sunday. And Thomas Mueller's more of just like a little, he's more of, likes to move around a little more. He doesn't like to beat you up for 90 minutes. So for me, it's Lukaku.
That's it. Lukaku is, he offers that little bit of athleticism and dynamicism. Is that even a word? I'm trying to say no, he's dynamic, but I can't speak. But I'm trying to say he's dynamic.
He has the highest ceiling of anyone on that team.
Exactly. And, I mean, the U.S. and Belgium did play. They did play, I think, a year ago. Belgium ripped apart the United States in a friendly 4-1, and Lukaku and Benteke just shredded the back line. We were defending all over the play. But Benteke's not there after suffering an Achilles tendon injury before the tournament. But Lukaku has that chance. He's big, and he's powerful, and he's fast. And that's not necessarily something that the U.S. has seen so far, other than Jean from Ghana, which
he, I think Lukaku's a little better than that.
Exactly. He still set up their first goal. So yeah. I think that's good. I mean, like you said, Hazard, it's hard to ignore a player of Hazard's ability. It will be interesting to see how Fabian Johnson does defending him on the right side, because Hazard does play on the left, so he can cut in. So
he's your number one player to watch tomorrow.
I mean, my eyes are always going to be on Eden Hazard as a boy who applies his trade.
Outside of Hazard, because that's probably what everyone's going to be watching for, or watching, which is understandable because he is top talent in the world.
Exactly. I think Mertens has had a big tournament so far, and Kevin Morelis from Everton is another player. Like, those two type, I mean, I just don't know what Belgium's starting lineup is going to be, so until I do, it's kind of hard to pinpoint one player because they have so many guys that they can rotate out. So, yeah, I worry that combination of whoever plays between Hazard, Morelis, and Mertens with whoever that playmaker is tucked in behind, mm-hmm. I guess would be Lukaku. Origi, the 19-year-old, has scored. He scored the winner against Russia. He's come in off the bench, so he might feature. But I think that combination of players, whoever is in the attacking third on the flanks, how Beasley and Johnson do defending them, will go a long way in deciding how well the United States play. And a player maybe I think that the United States can get at is Daniel Van Buyten. I really think that Dempsey, if he's up there, can cause Van Buyten problems, because I think Dempsey's a crafty player. Van Buyten, the agey,
slow veteran.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. You can try and dress it up. The man is slow.
Is he slower than Marcus Sacher from Germany?
Yeah. I mean, if you had Van Buyten, Mertesacker, and Demi Kalis having a race, I mean, depending how far they're going, you probably could leave and come back and they'd still be racing. So I think that Dempsey, if he can get isolated with Van Buyten, can cause some problems. Vincent Kompany, the center back, the Manchester City captain and center back, who will probably be playing alongside Van Buyten, or has been throughout the tournament, it looks like he'll be highly unlikely to feature. He's nursing a groin injury, still undecided. He hasn't been training. So
who gives the biggest performance tomorrow? Man of the match.
Belgium or for the United States?
Overall, what do you think?
I'm going to go
on. It kind of gives away who you want to win, too. But
well, I think for the United States, who I expect to have a good game, mm-hmm. based on everything I've seen, Jermaine Jones, I think, will be another standout. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Jones has been fantastic this whole tournament for the United States. He's been the United States' best player. He's powerful. He's dynamic in the midfield, just like my boy Lukaku.
Who isn't your boy nowadays?
This word, I was just trying to say my boy since I used the word dynamic. I guess I like that word when I can actually say it. But I like Jermaine Jones playing in the middle, breaking forward. And I think Michael Bradley is going to have a good game. He hasn't had the best tournament, but I do want to go on record right here. You and I have talked about it, that I think Michael Bradley is getting the short end of the stick. We're putting this guy, we're giving him the keys to how we want to attack. He's allowed to pull the strings, saying we want you on the ball. And that's not really his role. He's a hard worker. He's a guy that goes and wins the ball, and he puts in a shift all over the pitch, but he's going to give the ball away. But I mean, I've heard people calling him lazy because he's giving the ball away in bad times. He's certainly not that. He covered more ground than any other player in the group stage. So I think Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley, huge games for them today. Sorry.
Yeah, for me, it's Michael Bradley. I think Michael Bradley, he has been taking a lot of stick from the fans. They just don't understand a little bit of – I feel like he definitely looks just a little uncomfortable, but he doesn't mind. Definitely you can tell by the way he talks to the press. He doesn't mind being just a little out of position at times and trying to do a little more than what he probably should be doing, and that's okay. But I think Michael Bradley bounces back. Has a huge game. I think he has to in order for us to win tomorrow. He's got to be huge, and I think he will be.
So I got a couple. We'll recap quick questions that we think will impact the game. I just want to get your just quick take on them. USA philosophy coming into the match. Do you expect to? Do you think we'll play a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-5-1, or we'll revert back to the 4-4-2 with a diamond midfield, which kind of implies that we'll sit back and defend? Which formation do you think we're gonna?
I think the 4-5-1. I think a more of a little attacking, kind of stack a little bit of the middle at times, try to possess the ball. But I think Jurgen knows we got to set a little bit of a tone too. I mean, you come out that first 10 minutes, and
it's safe to assume we're both in agreement that we don't think Altidore mm-hmm. plays.
I think he does.
Oh, you think he does? So you think he starts?
That's the thing is, I think he plays, and so I would like to say he starts, because we've talked also a little about this, that he needs to start, and then we can replace him, because he did only play against about 20 minutes for Ghana. So it'd be better just to put him on for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. It'd probably give the team a little boost also in the starting lineup, help us out just a little bit. rather than having him come on in the 72nd minute and saying, hey, we need a goal from you, and he's just not fit enough to do that.
Yeah, Altidore back from that huge injury. It looked terrible. It's been 15 days. Hamstrings are a funny business that you never really know until you give it a full go. So if for me, if Altidore is getting in the game, he's got to start, because you can't depend on him to come on as a sub and then his hamstring go again, and now you got to waste another sub. Mm-hmm. So if he's not starting tomorrow, I don't think he plays. I don't expect him to play regardless. So, and if Altidore can't play, I expect us to go with the 4-5-1 with Beckerman and Jones in front. So, and hopefully, I think Klinsmann, and as well as some of the players, they said that we need to take more risk. We need to be more offensive than we were against Germany. So I think that's the mindset we'll have, because it's a knockout stage and you have to win. You can't play for the draw or whatever result's going to help you in the group the most. You got to play to win.
I would rather see us go out by attacking and trying to create some opportunities rather than going out and losing 1-0 from sitting back and absorbing pressure.
Having said that, you won't be shocked if we do sit back and are on the back foot for the majority of the game like we were in Ghana.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of positivity about this team right now. I'd be very, very shocked if we just sat back and maybe set up to sit back. But that's the thing against Ghana. I mean, it was just first game of the World Cup for us. You know, didn't want to do anything too stupid.
Okay, so moving on with the next question. Do you expect to see any kind of maybe a crack in the armor of Belgium as far as their lack of experience? They are a young squad. They only have one player, I think, that's over the age of 29 that's getting significant minutes. So if you would say that there's – what's the one thing you think might cause Belgium the most problems tomorrow – I mean today? We're recording this at night. This is why I keep messing up. We're recording this at 11:45 on – Monday night. It will be up Tuesday morning. So I'm saying today's game, knowing that everybody listening will be listening in the day of the game. I'm recording it the night before, so just bear with me as far as going back and forth between today's, tomorrow, whatever it may be. You know what I'm talking about. USA, Belgium, round of 16.
Chink in the armor for Belgium for me is probably their left and right outside backs getting exposed a little bit, just playing a little bit out of position. And if Belgium at times feels like, you know, fans are getting a little rowdy and want to see a little more from them, because at times in their games, they've looked just a little dull and boring. And if they try to push forward, I think that kind of exposed a lot of space that we can definitely attack into.
Yeah. If the U.S. can somehow bag an early goal, I really want to see how Belgium respond. They went down to Algeria on their first game of the tournament, but they still left it pretty late with Fellaini getting the first goal, I think about 10 minutes from time. And then Mertens getting the winner even later than that. So, I mean, this is a young team. They haven't been here before, and they haven't really faced – I don't know. I think it will be a lot to ask of them to say, all right, here's your adversity. You're down. How can you do it now in the time that counts? If the U.S. can get an early goal – or just take the lead, it will be interesting to see how Belgium responds.
Yeah, it's almost like we're, to a certain degree, just the older little veterans, and they're the younger, a little more individually talented. But we're definitely more together as a unit, I think.
Yeah, so
it could be due to all the commercials I'm seeing, but hey, I like to believe that. Anyways.
So who along that Belgium injury report do you think they'll miss the most? You got Kompany, doesn't look like he's going to make it. He might, but if he does, you wonder how fully fit he is. Vermaelen is carrying a hamstring injury. He didn't train with the team today. Fellaini left training with a calf injury today. Dembele's got a calf injury. Which of those players that might not feature will be the biggest miss?
I think for me, it's Vincent Kompany. A lot of leadership in the back, like you said. Only one person above the age of 29. And with Fellaini and Dembele, they say they should be ready to go. So not too much of a worry. So for me, it's Kompany from the back. He's a rock. He's solid.
Yeah, fantastic player. I mean, just absolutely fantastic
for club and international.
And he's able to clean up put out a lot of the fires that they have in the back line and maybe afford them the opportunity to play a Vertonghen at outside back, even though Vertonghen's used to it on the club level with Tottenham.
And Vermaelen's been out of form, so.
Yeah, so. All right, man, well, when kickoff rolls up, are you going to be able to make an objective pick, or are you going to just let the red, white, and blue flow through you with just patriotism and amber waves of gray, just all the good stuff that is the United States of America and the passion? Is that just going to overtake any objective opinion you might be able to make and have on this game?
Obviously, I want the red, white, and blue to win. That is going to be huge. It's a knockout stage against Belgium. There's a lot of players in Belgium I do enjoy watch playing too. So it's kind of half and half. If you want to say a prediction right now, I'm saying 2-1 to the U.S.
Oof. Well, I'm going to put my
And that's it, Corey. I think we'd have to score a goal in the first 60 minutes for that to happen.
I got to back Michael Bradley. I had that moment when I picked the U.S. to get out of the group. I had them going finishing second in Germany, beating Ghana, drawing Portugal, losing to Germany. I thought that would be the most likely scenario for us to get out. Having said that, we are the underdog, and if I'm going to have to make a decision, I'm say either 1-0 or 2-1 Belgium. It will be close, but they just have so many attacking options and just class and quality players going forward that it's going to be a big ask. Tim Howard's going to have to be huge, but in the end, I just don't think we create enough chances.
I haven't backed the U.S. all World Cup. I would be honest. I haven't backed the U.S. too great this World Cup. So what better time than do it now?
So now you're jumping on board and I'm jumping off.
A little bit.
All right.
Don't act like you don't have one leg still on the board.
We got all our bases covered. I mean, I'll certainly have the kit on and I'll be wearing it throughout the day and I'll be cheering for the U.S. as they walk out. I'll be singing the national anthem with them, all those good things. But at the end of the day, I think Belgium's just better. And if this knockout round has shown us anything, it seems that while these first knockout round games are edgy and tense,
but the better team has come through.
The better team has won. The team that you expect to win has advanced. And at this point, I think Belgium's just better than we are.
They are. That doesn't mean they won't win.
But it's not like it's some unconquerable task. They haven't played all that well. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the U.S. win. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. But it will give us plenty to talk about in our next podcast. Appreciate everybody listening. I know it's been a little bit. We've just been so consumed with the World with the World Cup.
You've been so consumed, you can't even speak.
No, man. Getting choked up.
But that's all right. Like I said, if you're at a bar, wherever you are, take a quick preview. It'll be good. And let's all hope for the U.S. for tomorrow. I think we're finally coming together. One team, one nation. I'm starting to believe a little bit.
I think a bug flew down my throat.
He might just have.
Chris, take us home, man.
But yeah, like you said, good luck to the U.S. tomorrow. Have fun watching wherever you are. And thanks for giving us a listen. Make sure to tweet us whenever you can. Send us an email. Email me a little barbaric. We can talk to you that way. And that's all for today.